All right, let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14. I feel lonely tonight without my wife. Amen. You know? Well, got Brother Cordry here, actually. But nothing serious, so just pray for her. Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to read a couple verses here, and dealing with something that we all deal with, sometimes on a weekly basis or a couple times a week. Proverbs 14, notice verse 20, we're again in this series, Wisdom from Above, and again the idea is that we have a choice to live by God's wisdom or the wisdom of this world, and we want to live by the wisdom of God that we find in His Word. And so notice Proverbs chapter 14, I'm going to use these verses kind of as a springboard into the topic. But notice verse 20, the Bible says, "The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house tonight. Thank you that you've given us your word.
Yes.
We have truth, your truth. And I pray tonight as I give the message that I believe you've led me to give tonight, you please help me, fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. May your word go forth tonight with power and clarity. Help me to be clear as I speak and bring to mind things that need to be said this evening and hinder anything that doesn't need to be said. And I do ask if someone's here tonight that's not saved, that tonight they'd trust Christ as their personal Savior. But those of us that do know you, again, give us understanding about this subject that all of us deal with, and particularly here in recent days. And so we ask your blessing and help now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to notice the verses again, verse 20 and 21. It's talking about the poor. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. I'll read the second verse again, verse 21. He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. You know, throughout the United States, there has been a recent upsurge all across the United States in panhandling.
Right.
Panhandling, street beggars, those that stand by an intersection, a busy intersection, often with a sign in their hands, asking for money from passers-by. It has become an epidemic throughout many cities in our nation. On February 17th, 2020, the Delaware News, ABC 47, ran a story I came across which said this, quote, "Delaware lawmakers are looking to address panhandling in the state, an issue they say is especially prevalent in beach towns during the summer months." Well, I'd like to inform you it's in Dover as well. It's all over Dover. And it's in Wilmington. But you know what is interesting as I began to do a little research about this is that in Delaware, panhandling is already against the law. It is? Yeah, Delaware Code, Title 11, Part A, Section 1321, in case you're interested. It reads, quote, "A person is guilty of loitering when the person loiters, remains, or wanders about in a public place for the purpose of begging." They're not allowed to do that. Not supposed to. But understand, the offense is only punishable by a small fine. That's it. And so what happens is this, I would imagine, from what I've read, that a citation is issued, and then the fine either is paid or it isn't paid, and the panhandling continues. And that's it. So I want to ask, why does it continue? Why don't they stop? Because people give them money, that's why. People give them money. You say, how much money? It was interesting for years, and I'm going to take a little side rabbit hole, if you will. in Atlantic City when I worked down there for years. We'd go out on the boardwalk for our breaks, and there was this little old lady that had a sign on her front and back. It said Deborah Hart Association, and had a can with donations, and she did that for probably 10 to 12 years, and people would give her money all the time, and came to find out that she wasn't even a part of that. And she was making about $100,000 a year on the boardwalk doing that. It's crazy. But how much do they make? Well, that's an interesting question. One Lee County, Florida investigative reporter thought that he would try to find out. And so what he did is probably what you would want to do, or me, but we wouldn't do it. And he said, I'm going to do this. His name was Evan Dean. He said he made an agreement. He wouldn't lie. If somebody asked what he was doing, he would tell them. And he wasn't going to keep the money. He was going to donate it to a homeless shelter. But he decided, I'm going to go out and see what this is like. And so he puts on a floppy hat. He puts on a mask. You know, got to have that COVID mask. Put on shorts and a t-shirt. And he wrote in marker on a piece of cardboard two words, anything helps. And he stood in the median of a busy intersection, and here's what he wrote about his experience. He said, quote, the first realization I had was that panhandling is not an enviable task. He says it's dangerous in the intersections, and the hot sun can make it uncomfortable. But I also quickly realized how generous our community is. He said donations started pouring in almost immediately. He said, I also realized that I wasn't alone. There were other panhandlers at the same intersection. He said, I made more than $80 in just 2 hours. He said, many, as he was talking to them, many make up to $400 a day. Do the math. That's a lot of money. And he concluded with the same conclusion all of us would come to by saying this. What is the motivation for someone to get a real job if they're pulling in several hundred dollars a day?
Right.
And that's true. Now, I think all of us have experienced this dilemma. We stop at a red light. It is a busy intersection. And there is that person that's standing there. They're dressed raggedly. They are unkept. Could be a man, sometimes is, sometimes it's a woman, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes it's a pregnant woman. I've seen that one. How many have seen her? Okay. Sometimes she brings a child with her. How many have seen a child with some of these ladies, women that are there? I've seen one with an oxygen tank on. How many have seen her? Right over here by Ollie's, right? But whatever, they always have a sign, though. They may look a little different, and the sign says something like this, homeless, or veteran, or like that man had on his sign, anything helps. And did you notice that the message almost always, I would want to say always, because I don't remember a time it hasn't, ends with the phrase, God bless you, or God loves you. Always brings God into it. And so here we are at the red light, and we're sitting there, uncomfortable for a minute or two, wondering, what do I do? Do I give something, or do I not give something? Do I look at them, or do I not look at them? Do I say something? How many want to say something? Or do I not say something? Should I be angry? Or should I be sad? What is the right biblical thing to do?
Amen.
I think we all struggle with this. Good. What do I do? Now notice our verse this evening, Proverbs 14:21. We'll just read that one, because I'm going to park here on the last part of the verse. He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. There it is. There's your answer. You give him money. Not so fast. Not so fast. Tonight I want to preach on that subject here, as you see on your handout, the wisdom of helping the poor. What do we do? Well, let's find out. Amen. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about the poor. It does. For example, the word poor is mentioned in 197 verses in the Bible. Most of them in the Old Testament. 162 in the Old Testament, 35 in the New Testament, 35 times in the book of Proverbs. The word poverty is also mentioned in 15 verses in the Bible. So the question tonight I want to try to address here is, what should a believer's response be to the poor? To poor people. And then how about this? How do we know if someone really is poor? How can we discern that? How do we know if we should give? Well, hopefully these questions will be answered tonight. Notice number one, if you would write this down, the reality of poverty. Now, it's very, very clear, the Lord Jesus Christ said it, that there will be poverty in this world. Amen. Someone said, I'm gonna beat poverty. No, you're not. I'm going to eliminate the poor. Just a few laws. I'm going to get the right people in Congress. Boy, we're going to pass some laws. Nobody in America will be poor. Wrong. There will be poor people. Jesus said there would be. He said there will always be poor people on the earth as long as the earth stands. Mark 14:7. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. In other words, there will never come a time when there will not be people somewhere who are truly poor, who are truly in need, who are in real poverty, that are certainly destitute and poor. The World Atlas writes this, quote, poverty is as old as human civilization itself. For as long as human beings have lived, there has always been a segment of the population that would be considered poor by the standards of time. The same is true today. In fact, the world now has almost 1 billion people that live below the World Bank poverty line of what is equivalent to $1.90 U.S. dollars per day. Over a billion people. Think about that. Some are so poor that their very survival is at stake, because they lack access to the basic necessities of life, such as food, water, and shelter. That's what the World Atlas writes, and it's true. I don't know about the number. I'm sure they do. Now, some of the poorest countries today include Central African Republic, Burundi, the Congo, Niger, South Sudan, Liberia, Haiti, on and on it goes. Most of them seem to be in Africa. But what does it mean? What is someone who's considered poor? Why would we call them poor? What does that mean? Well, Strong's Concordance defines it this way. Very simple. It's on your handout tonight. It means to be destitute. It means to lack. It means to be needy. Webster's 1828 defines it this way. Those who are wholly destitute of property for a comfortable sustenance. Needy. So destitute as to require maintenance from the public. So we could say that poor is, in a sense, the real poor is the inability to take care of yourself. You are poor. Now, there are two types of poverty, notice, described in the Bible. The first one is this, spiritual poverty. When someone is lost, when someone is without the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they don't know Him, they're not saved, they're still lost in their sin. Understand, they are in spiritual poverty.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 8:9 puts it this way. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty might be rich. That ye through His poverty might be rich. So we're poor before Christ. Then when we get saved, we're rich in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You remember what John said to the churches in Revelation? Of course, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that were cold nor or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. So notice they had material things. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So they had a lot of stuff materially, but they were spiritually impoverished.
Right.
You can be that way. You see, when a person is lost, even if they are multimillionaires,
right,
even if they're business owners or successful in their career, even if they own a Fortune 500 company, if they possess lands and palaces and large bank accounts and large retirement accounts, if they are not saved, then Amen. They are spiritually destitute. They
Amen.
Are bankrupt. They are poor.
Destitute
of God's grace. But here's the good news tonight, that you can become spiritually rich tonight. You can go from poor to being rich in a moment. You say, how, preacher? By accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, recognizing you're lost without Christ. You're a sinner deserving of hell, and that Jesus came to this earth, went to the cross of Calvary, died for your sins, shed his blood for your sins. If you repent of your sin and trust him as your Savior, you will become spiritually rich in the Lord Jesus Christ. I like Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of Amen. His grace. So there is spiritual poverty. But then there's also, second, letter B, physical poverty. You know, there are people who are truly poor. There are. There are people who do not have the means to survive on their own. They do not have the ability to take care of themselves. They are legitimately poor. There are people out there like that. Jesus Christ often interacted with and spoke to people who were just that. They were legitimately poor. He said they were poor, and I believe they were then. For example, the poor widow woman in Mark chapter 12. We read, and there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. Interesting, she's poor and we find her giving, not taking, but that's a side note. Anyway, there were poor people in Jesus Christ's day, and there are poor people today.
Right.
The church at Jerusalem went through a time of great poverty. They had physical poverty. They experienced a famine in the land, which caused the church to go through that state of poverty. So much so that the churches of Asia and Macedonia brought a love offering to them to help them out. Why? Because they were legitimately poor. They had a need. They couldn't take care of it at that time. Romans 15:26, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. So those church members were struggling at Jerusalem. They couldn't help themselves. So the other churches took an offering, sent it to them, and they received it, and it was a great help to them. So there are people, my point is this, that are truly poor. They are impoverished. They are in poverty. Poverty is a real thing. So we see, number one, the reality of poverty. Then notice, number two, the reasons for poverty. Now, before I go any further, I'd like to remind us that there is nothing that happens in anyone's life that God does not either ordain or allow.
Right.
I'm going to say that again.
Amen.
There's nothing that happens in your life, my life, or anybody's life for Amen. That matter, that God does not either ordain or he allows.
Amen.
Nothing, including poverty.
Right.
Our God is omnipotent. He's all powerful. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere present. And we know for the child of God that loves God, Romans 8:28, right? We know that. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did know, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So everything that happens in our lives is either ordained or allowed of God, and the purpose is to work together to conform the Lord Jesus Christ in us,
Amen.
That we might be like Christ.
Amen.
So if someone is experiencing poverty, it is because God has either ordained it or he has allowed it.
Right.
Very important to understand. Now, there are two reasons why people experience poverty. Why are people poor? Why does that happen? Well, the first one is this. I'm on the back side already. And that is this, letter A, uncontrollable circumstances. Uncontrollable circumstances. Some people experience things that are out of their control.
Right.
That they did not choose.
Right.
That are not the result of something they did. For example, it could be some kind of tragedy. Let's say somebody is in their car and just waiting at a red light, and out of nowhere they get rear-ended by someone in another car, and they get hospitalized, and they're in the hospital for an extended period of time. They're out of work, and they're not bringing in money. That's not something they caused. It was an uncontrollable circumstance. One could be someone that got a disease or cancer, and they're out of work for a while, and so they experience time of hardship, a time of poverty. Again, uncontrollable circumstance. Maybe a spouse ran off with another woman and left them with all the bills and the kids and everything, and they're struggling to get by. That's something out of their control. They didn't do anything. Somebody else did it to them. Or maybe a spouse that died, and that spouse happened to be the breadwinner in the family, and maybe there's a lot of kids in the home and so forth. Again, they didn't choose that. It's something that was uncontrollable. Maybe their company that they worked for went out of business, out of nowhere, unexpected, and they lost their job and was struggling maybe for a little while, getting back on their feet, and they're experiencing a time of poverty or hardship. Maybe it's, again, for health reasons where they truly cannot work. Maybe they're getting older and beyond that working age, or physically they can't do it. It could be a natural disaster. We see that all the time in the news. Maybe a hurricane hits a town, or a tornado, or an earthquake, or something like that. And people lose their homes, and they lose their possessions, and so forth. And again, because of that situation that was out of their control, they are going through a time of struggle. They're struggling financially, and they need help with things. They need food, maybe, or clothing, or housing. Now, these would be people who are truly poor. Now, it may be temporarily poor, or maybe not temporarily, but they are experiencing that, and it's true. And of course, they deserve help. They need help. I think of perhaps an example in the Bible might be Job. He didn't ask for what happened to him. Of course, we have some insight because we have the Bible and we see all the spiritual warfare that's going on. But he lost all of his stuff and so forth. And again, it was an uncontrollable thing. And so one of the reasons or possible reason that someone is experiencing poverty or hardship is because of uncontrollable circumstances. But then there's a second one, and that is this. Maybe it's not uncontrollable circumstances, but it could be unbiblical choices.
Right.
Now, in America, this is more of the reason.
Right.
I'll get to that here in a little bit. Do you know that when people reject the gospel and refuse to obey God's principles, then one of the results of that, biblically speaking, is poverty.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to say that again.
Amen.
When someone says no to the gospel,
right,
and I am not living by the word of God, I don't want that, I'm doing things my own way, there's a lot that comes from that.
Amen.
But one of the things is poverty.
Right.
God promised that.
Right. Amen.
Let me show you. Look back with me just a page back at Proverbs 13 and verse 18. Proverbs 13:18. Notice, poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. But he that regardeth reproof shall be honored. And notice, God says, if you refuse instruction,
right,
if you and I stiff-arm God,
amen,
and we say no to his word, guess what's going to happen? One of the results of that could be poverty.
Right.
Poverty. You know, it's interesting, as I was looking up the verses on poverty, preparing for the message, that God says that there's a lot of things that are going to result in poverty that we do. Let me show you. Go over to Proverbs chapter 20. One thing that will cause poverty specifically is laziness.
Right.
Now, I didn't have these down, but you might want to write those down under letter B there. Look at Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to what?
Poverty.
Are we there tonight? Proverbs, yeah, chapter 13. Yeah. Oh, sorry, 20 and verse 13. Again, love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. So God says that if we're lazy,
right,
then we're gonna be poor.
Right. Amen.
There it is. Well, I don't feel like it. You're gonna be poor. Well, I don't want to go to work. You're gonna be poor. That's a promise of God.
Amen.
God's method is simple. Do you want to get out of poverty? Work.
Amen.
Work.
Amen.
W-O-R-K. 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. And so if you are living a life of laziness, you don't want to work. And by the way, sometimes that means in hard times, you got to get another job. Now, I don't think you should ever miss church, but get another job. Do what you got to do. Make it happen. Because otherwise, your poverty will be your own fault.
Right.
Don't blame God.
Amen.
Laziness will result in poverty.
Right. Amen.
There's another thing that will bring you to poverty. Go to Proverbs chapter 23. And that is this. This isn't on your sheet either, but you can write down. When you consume alcohol and drugs. Hello.
Amen.
It's going to lead to poverty. Proverbs 23 and verse 21. All right, let's see if we can. I'll have you fill in a blank. I'm prepping you now for it. Ready? For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty,
amen,
and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Notice, the drunkard is going to come to poverty. If someone is going to live a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol, guess what's going to happen? They're going to end up in the poorhouse,
right,
in poverty.
Amen.
Then there's another one I thought that was interesting. Go to Proverbs 28. This is not all of them. I could have spent a whole lot of time on this. But yeah, laziness leads to poverty. Consuming alcohol and drugs will lead to poverty. And then number three, trying to find some get-rich-quick scheme or scamming. Look at Proverbs 28 and verse 22. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. And so if you're trying to get out of work and say, I'm going to scam people, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to find some scheme where I'll have to do the least amount of work and get the most amount of money, you're going to find yourself in the poorhouse eventually, because that is not God's way. You see, my point is this: ignoring God's principles, ignoring the Bible, is going to lead a person to poverty. Now go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Powerful passage here.
Amen.
Yes, to the nation of Israel, but there is a principle here for,
amen,
all time and all people.
Amen.
Proverbs 28 and verse 15. Now, I'm not going to read all those verses. We can go all the way down really to just about the end of the chapter. But notice in verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, for I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
Right.
Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep. You know what he's saying here? You're going to be poor. You're not going to get the increase that you think you're going to get. Why? Because you're not obeying God's principles. Verse 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. Hey, maybe the reason that we're seeing all this poverty is because America has turned her back on God.
Right. Amen.
Perhaps so. That would fit in the Bible.
Right.
You see, all of these things he's talking about, and I'm not going to read on for time's sake, but they are the result of rejecting the gospel and refusing to obey God's principles. So yes, there are some people that are poor because of uncontrollable circumstances. And yes, we should do what we can for them as God leads us and enables us. But others are poor because of their own unbiblical choices.
Right.
That's why. Their poverty is self-inflicted. It's self-imposed. It's unnecessary. It's brought upon themselves by their own actions and their choices, and can be remedied.
Amen.
If they choose.
Good.
To remedy it.
Amen.
And obey the Lord.
Right.
That's the reason for poverty. So we saw the reality of poverty. There are truly poor people. But then we see sometimes that the person's poverty is because things out of their control, but then sometimes it's things in their control. So how do we respond? Let's look at number three, our response or reaction to poverty. You know, we have on a regular basis people coming to this church, every church does, by the way, claiming to be poor. Easy every week. Sometimes in clusters we get two or three and so forth. Sometimes they come to the service. And they come and they ask us to pay their bills. In fact, some will come with the bill in hand. Can you pay my electric bill? Can you pay my rent? Can you give me a hotel room, they ask. They ask, can you give us cash? There's been times when we've dealt with them, and typically the deacons do this, but we all are on hopefully the same page about this, that when it doesn't go the way they want, they'll come out and they'll work the congregation without us seeing it, asking people for money. They have. I know some that have. So the question is this, how should we handle them? Cold, unkind, get out of here, or just give them what they want, or maybe somewhere in between. Do you think if someone comes here and says, comes through our door and sits through a service and hands us a bill and says, could you pay my $560 electric bill that I haven't paid for 2 months? Could you do that? Oh, thank you. Certainly. We're a church. We're Christians. We love people. That's what we do. That's what they think. That's what they think. And if you don't, they'll sometimes storm out of here claiming you don't love people and you're not Christian at all. Well, what is the Christian thing to do then? What is it? We should figure this out, don't you think? Because we're going to have to deal with it. I know at the light it's only a minute and then you drive off or whatever. But what do you do when you pull up to a light and so forth? How do we deal with people, watch this, who claim to be poor?
Right.
That's what they're saying on the side of the road, isn't it, in essence? I'm poor. I'm impoverished. I don't have a home and so forth. How do we do it? By the way, if we just give them what they want, that's not helping them at all.
Right.
And I'm going to explain that why in a second here. It's not helping them. So what do we do? Well, we have to deal with them in this order. Here it is. You ready? This is in this order is how you deal with someone who claims to be poor and has a need. Number one, you must deal with, first of all, the salvation of their soul.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
I've said that to the deacons often. I said, first thing they do when they come in, we want to buttonhole them with the gospel.
Right.
See if they're saved. You remember what Peter said to the man at the gate, beautiful, right? Obs, silver and gold have I none. Must have been a Baptist preacher. But such as I have, give I... That was a joke.
Amen.
I should have a sign here. That was a joke, so you all can laugh at it. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, right? Rise up and walk. What did he give to him? The gospel. We read later on, it was the guy's faith that saved him.
Right.
You see, what every human being needs more than anything else, more than money,
Amen.
More than housing, more than food, more than getting their bills taken care of, is salvation.
Amen.
By the way, the purpose of the church is not to build houses for people,
right.
Not to pay people's bills,
right.
Not to feed them. That's not why we're here.
Right.
Now, the denominations, the Protestants may do that because they don't have any idea, most of them, what the gospel is. So they have to have some kind of purpose. And so that's what they do. They have clothing drives and all that. But that's not the biblical purpose of the church.
Right.
We are to fulfill the Great Commission. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Think about this for a moment. God may have brought that very situation into their lives, that trouble into their lives, to prepare their hearts so that they would receive the gospel.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
God had to squeeze them a little bit. Many people come to Christ out of hardships and trials and
Amen.
Tragedies. My wife and I got saved after the death of my dad. It really rocked our boat, if you will, and we had so many questions. There's a lot of things along the line. But I'm just saying, think about it. Maybe God allowed whatever it is in their life to happen so that they might get saved. You see, we must deal with the spiritual before we deal with the temporal.
Amen.
So that's the first thing we have to do.
Right.
By the way, the very best thing you can do to that person that's standing there at the light with a little box or whatever cardboard box sign is to give them a track.
Amen.
Give them a track. Because that's what they need. Now, I wouldn't argue with you if you gave them a dollar and a track so they read the track or whatever. But don't just give them a dollar and drive away. What good is that doing?
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Amen.
So you deal, number one, with the salvation of their soul. Then number two, you deal with the application of Bible principles.
Amen.
You know, when someone comes here asking for something, of course we deal with them with salvation. But before we give them a thing, we have to fix the problem that's causing their poverty. Again, if it may be something out of their control, that's a different story. But most of the time, it's not. It's because of their lifestyle. And are they able to work? Why aren't you working? We want to find that out. Okay, we pay it or give you a hotel room tonight. Guess what? Tonight's going to end.
Amen.
And then you're going to need one tomorrow night and the next night. We give it to you for a week. That week's going to end eventually. And so where are you going to be there? You have to fix the problem. What is the problem? Are you working? Can you work? Are you lazy? Is there a character problem there? Are you wasting your money? What are you doing with your money? I've asked many times, a few times when I have the time to do it. When someone, you're going into a Wawa or something, hey, can I have some money? I've learned to ask this. This is what I've done in recent days. I ask them, why don't you have money? And they're like rocks them. They don't know what to say. Oh. Well, how much do you get something from the state? Well. They don't know how to answer that. No, that's a valid question, isn't it? Why don't you have money? We work, you get money. That's life. That's society. That's the Bible way.
Amen.
You work, you get money. That's how we all do it.
Right.
And so are you working? How about this? Are you wasting it? Are you overspending? Are you running up credit cards? Why are you in this difficulty? Are you spending your money on alcohol or cigarettes or marijuana or drugs or gambling or something like that? Oh, preacher, just give them the money. We're not helping them. By just giving
Amen.
Them the money.
Right.
What is the problem here? What are you doing with the money the government's giving you? We live in America, by the way.
Amen.
And many people get housing, money, and food stamps. Do you know that the biggest item on the federal government's budget is entitlements? The very biggest item. Entitlements. According to Forbes magazine, entitlements absorb 70% of the federal budget. 70%. Our government provides, no wonder everybody's running here, trying to get here. I mean, our government provides health insurance, housing help, utility aid, food stamps, child care, schooling, and much, much more for those who have a legitimate need. The problem is people take advantage of the system. They know how it works. You see, most of the time in America, not all the time, most of the time, the problem is not true poverty. In other words, the result of things out of their control. Most of the time, it's a character problem that that person doesn't want to address. You know, in those cases, we shouldn't give them a dime unless that person agrees to work on or to fix or to remedy that character problem. Because otherwise, you might as well just take whatever it is you're given and throw it in the fireplace and wave goodbye to it. Because it's not helping them. Amen. And they'll be back for more.
Amen.
Because you did it. So what do? We try to address that. What's going on? We ask those questions. Hey, come to church. Be faithful to church.
Amen.
Make sure they're saved. Be faithful. Obey God's word. Get into the word of God. And now you do what you want. Again, I'm not saying it's a sin if you give somebody a dollar. I'm not saying that tonight. You do what you want. But I don't give those side of the road people a dime. I don't. You know why? Because there's no way for me to determine in 1 minute what's going on in their life. You say, preacher, it says it on the sign. You know, I think there must be a class somewhere for that. I really do. Because they all seem to, okay, hold the sign there. No, a little lower, a little lower. Okay, look down. No, don't smile. Look sad. You're too straight. Okay, hunch a little bit. Okay. And now when they come up, just look at them. And then look down. There's a class on it. That's what they do. Oh, poor so-and-so, here it is. You see, I don't know if they're genuine or not. And by the way, you don't either. Statistics say that most of them are not.
Right.
Cameras and reporters that have followed many of them around have followed them into nice houses, nice cars. I mean, people fake the craziest things. They'll fold their legs up and tuck them into pants to look like they don't have legs down the bottom. All kinds of crazy things. And roll around on these wheeled things that look like skateboards with a cup in their hand. New York City and other places. We're not helping them. That's not going to help them. By the way, if they can stand out, and here's what I think. You say, well, if you can stand out there for 6 hours holding that sign, you can hold an Ashley Furniture Sale sign. You can do a little progressive insurance move. You can do that. So that says to me, you can work.
Right.
You're walking just fine. You can do something.
Amen.
So I don't give them anything. Do you know why you and I aren't homeless? Because we work.
Amen.
That's why.
Right.
Homeless. Yeah, why? You don't work.
Right.
Get a job. Do what you got to do. And they should do what everybody else does. Again, we have to first fix the character problem.
Amen.
That's the first thing that has been. Salvation of their soul, and then the application of Bible principles. Otherwise, understand, we become enablers. That's what we're doing. And we're just compounding the problem.
Right.
And then thirdly, and we're done right here, that is this. Yes, the salvation of their souls we deal with first. Then the application of Bible principles secondly. Then lastly, have the compassion for the truly poor. Again, there are people that are truly poor.
Right.
Like I said, a hurricane comes through and there's a need or somebody's in a... And we know. And so what about those that we really can generally understand? Yeah, there is an issue. They're not doing anything wrong. They just came onto some hard times. What do we do then? Have compassion on them.
Right. Amen.
Do what you can. Understand there's two basic needs, according to the Bible, that all people have: food and clothing. Right? 1 Timothy 6:8, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. You could add to that shelter and utilities if you want. And so what I'm saying here is for the people that are truly poor, for the people that are truly struggling, that are living by Bible principles, that have experienced some uncontrollable circumstances, we are to have compassion on them. And as the Lord leads and as the Lord enables us, as we can, we help. It's a good thing to do.
Amen.
That's what is said in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20. 21. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. That's talking about the truly poor.
Amen.
Not people that have made a mess of their own lives. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God's people, we are to help people. But not without thinking this thing through. Not without applying God's principles. Not without using wisdom from above.
Amen.
Don't just throw it out to anybody because they give you a sad face. You are an enabler. Follow these guidelines. Make sure you know this is a person that is truly in need. And then if you can, if God leads you to do that, be a help and
Amen.
Be a blessing. Make a difference. Amen?
Amen.